Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
Benformers, aren't we a motley crew? Happy Halloween.
Ladies and gentlemen, man. Happy Halloween, baby. For those that are listeners and not watchers, go to the YouTube page. We have Clark Kent and, ladies and gentlemen, the reigning, defending MVP, finals MVP, and the Joker are in town. Halloween spectacular. Halloween spectacular.
Nico, confirm for the people. We didn't talk about our costumes. Nope, we said that we were coming in costumes. If you had any doubt that Nico and I were friends, and we've been friends for a long time, this, go watch the YouTube. I'm going to tell Brandon specifically tomorrow during class, be like, hey, make this. We got to see this because I am the one, the only Superman, Clark Kent, Kal-El. And Nico's
got the Joker, the full Joker outfit, the mile high seizures. Hold on, Jimmy. An extra touch that I got last week, you know, NBA champion jacket, warm up jacket. Just had to add that touch and got my state football ring on because I had to make sure I had a ring on just to make sure I complete the outfit. I got Larry over here. Larry's over here as well. Just to pop in every now and then to show the world Larry is still indeed with us. You know, and of course, if anyone wants to fuck around, I got a Joker card just in case.
It's great that we're all here. Episode 158, Far End of the Bench. We went live for you last week, and then this week, since I got to travel, we're kind of doing a mix. It's not going to be a fully sports-centered show. But
obviously,
we do have to talk about some Victory Monday, first Victory Monday. We didn't think we'd get one.
This clown face, Jimmy, is not a representation of this past week.
It could be.
It could be, but I don't know.
It was a couple weeks ago, but it is not. We're talking about we're having our Halloween special. We're going to talk about all of our favorite memories, favorite candies, talk a little bit about some of the horror movie characters. So if you're a big Halloween fan and you're not necessarily a sports fan, this will be a good episode for you guys. But we are going to talk about Victory Monday. We are going to make picks so that we stay up to date. We do have an update. I made up some ground because a couple of the games that Nico decided he was going to try and pick a flyer on. Yep, we screwed up. And obviously, part of the reason why we have Victory Monday also goes to the fact why we both have losses on our record. If I would have stuck to my guns, I would have finally did what I've been trying to do to you all season and get one game back on you while picking the Broncos. I didn't have the balls to do it, and they proved me wrong. But overall, I mean, it feels like we haven't been away for that long because we really haven't. We went live last Thursday. I just finished. I re-listened to every episode to make sure that it sounds good for the listeners. So I do care about you all, Benchwarmers. That's why you should subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like Nico said, if you're just listening, make sure you follow first on your listening platform. Then go check out what we look like for our Halloween costumes. Hopefully everybody's enjoying this. I am putting this out Tuesday. So you're getting this early. You're getting this on Halloween. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the more interesting things going on. And this is where we're going to start. This is where we have to start, Nico. Victory Monday. And I was going to start with the Bengals because they looked great. And then the Broncos ended up doing what they did. So it would only be – it's only fair. I mean, the first time we were seniors in high school. We had yet to graduate high school the last time that the Denver Broncos had beaten Kansas City. And it's been longer than that since they beat them in Denver because they beat them in Kansas City with Peyton Manning. Yeah, that monkey is finally off of your back.
Jimmy, you don't beat the Broncos. You may beat the Broncos one time. You may beat the Broncos two times. Hell, you may beat the Broncos five times. Maybe you may beat the Broncos 16 times in a row. But you sure as hell will not beat the Denver Broncos 17 times in a row. Not on our fucking watch is all I'm going to say. Ladies and gentlemen, the monkey's off the back. Brock Lesnar, the streak is broken. The sound the sirens. In a season of what the fuck is this team, a defense that let 70 points to Tua Tagovailoa had now let up 9 points to Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift's little hubby over there. Yeah, I look, I'm not gonna sit here and act like I'm not happy, because I'm very happy. I at some point, do I want this team to lose? Do it probably. Yeah, I will stand up and say I want this team to lose. I think it's better for this team's long-term future. Because we're not going to win a Super Bowl this year. It's still a very, very long trek to get into a wild card position. But it's a win that you can show to your team that this shit is not the same, that things are turning around, that this is not going to fly anymore, that this is a new regime, that this is a new aura, this is a new Denver Broncos tenure upon us. Not the same old Chiefs coming in town whooping our ass, Chargers splitting half of games, Raiders coming into our city and beating our ass. It's changing. It is changing. Do I think that this – the season still has a chance to turn around? I think this team has a chance to fight for 500. They're 3-5 now, sitting at.
Do you want to fight for 500 with this team, Nico?
I Jimmy, it's really going to be all dependent on, as we recorded this, unfortunately, the trade deadline is on Halloween. So we'll see. We'll see if it's a ship everyone kind of weekend. Do I want this team to fight for a playoff spot? No, because I don't think it's feasible. But like I said, 2 weeks ago, we were 1-5. All of a sudden, you win 2 in a row. Going to the bye week, 3-5 looks a lot prettier than 2-6/1-7. It does look a lot prettier, unfortunately. And that's the good thing about it. It's like, look, this team can build upon this, probably not this year, but going forward. Patrick Mahomes doesn't own you anymore. You can have this feeling that you can beat anybody any single night. That's the thought this team needs to have, not going into this year, but going into next year and the following years. And that's the most important takeaway from this game. And like I said, getting the monkey off the back, it's so huge. Did I think that it happened this year? Absolutely not. Under no circumstances did I think that we were going to finally beat the Chiefs this year. But hey, why not? Like, give the fans that stuck out there in the cold, not myself, because I did not fucking want to sit out there in the cold. Give the fans that sat out there in the cold to cheer you on, that are diehards like myself, a little something to be happy about. Because like I said, all Broncos fans have the same exact feelings. This is probably not leading to much this season. But you know what? You fucking beat the Chiefs after 6-17 games, okay? And that's the happiness you got to have. And you gotta, like I said, you gotta take the good out of the terrible season. And look, this defense has come a long way since giving up 70 points. Last couple weeks has been much better. The offense,
five turnovers against the Chiefs.
Exactly. The offense looks way, way better than it did last year. It looks night and day better. It's the little things that you have to take back. Like I said, the Roman Empire wasn't built in one day for those culture lovers, agriculture lovers.
How often do you think about the Roman Empire, Nico?
Every damn day, Jimmy, obviously. Every damn day. The Roman Empire was not built in one day, so it'll take time. But like I said, it sucks in terms of draft position, but at this point, it's important for that locker room to realize that win. It's important for those guys and to tell your fan base that, yeah, this shit sucked the last 8 years, but it's fucking changing, and it's slowly changing. It may not get to the point where we all want it to be eventually, but you can see the tides start to turn. That's the best thing about this.
I also think that it was a tryout for the players that are on the trade market so that they stepped up. I mean, Jerry Jeudy had a touchdown. Cortland Sutton had a touchdown. I'm pretty sure everybody is liable. I'm pretty sure that's what Sean Payton has said, and that's kind of the aura that he's built around the team this year. But it was also a tryout for the Denver Broncos with players that could possibly be traded here and the players that are possibly going to be looking to see in the future. This coaching staff can get this team to win. And getting 5 turnovers against Patrick Mahomes, that's lucky because the Chiefs don't do that often. 3 fumbles, 2 interceptions. But, I mean, it's not like you were really all that spectacular and you beat the Chiefs 24-9. So if you can win games like this where you don't play all that great and you have your own issues, Russell Wilson only threw for 114 yards. You dominated on the ground. That was good to see. It's not a sustainable success because you only win that game with that offensive performance when you have 5 turnovers. But you shouldn't apologize for winning. It sucks now in the draft situation, but even the Panthers won a game. So maybe you could still get back up higher. I don't know if Drake May is going to be there for you, but you're going to be finding guys and you're establishing a culture like Sean Payton showing guys that are showing up next year. We're not just sitting around. This is not a team that's going to wallow in mediocrity. I'm going to do everything drastic that I can to try and make sure that this team wins. So hopefully you're a part of that. And if you're not, then you're going to be out of here.
It's such a massively important win. Like I said, I
Raiders pick Patrick, six, by the way, as we're recording this.
Yeah, fuck the Raiders. Forcing, it doesn't matter what the hell's going on. I'm still fuck the Raiders. Forcing Patrick Mahomes five turnovers, forcing the Chiefs offense only nine to under double digit points. There's a handful of teams since Patrick Mahomes stepped onto the field that have held the Kansas City Chiefs to a single game with under double digit points. I don't think you can – I think you can only count on your hand how many teams have done that. And maybe those games, Patrick Mahomes maybe was injured or didn't even play half the game or something along those lines. Not many teams have been able to do what the Denver Broncos just did. Is that a component to what the Broncos may be in the future? I don't know. Is it a component of what the Chiefs can be it right now? I think absolutely. I think the Denver Broncos showed the Cincinnati Bengals, showed the Buffalo Bills, showed the Chargers how to stop this offense. And that is a massive, massive thing. And it is weird saying that this Broncos defense that let up 70 points not too long ago is showing the rest of the league how to stop this offense. But if these other teams are very, very smart, they take what the Broncos did and try to replicate it the best they can, plain and simple. And I know that's fucking weird to say.
Teach tape both ways. It's teach tape how not to give up, what not to do if you don't want to give up 70 points, and what to do if you want to hold the Chiefs under 10 points.
It's a staple to how to beat this team, 100%. It absolutely is. And look, you could say, oh, Patrick Mahomes was sick and Kelsey didn't have Taylor Swift in the stands and yada, yada, yada. They all suited up. They all stood out there and said, I'm good to play. As far as I'm aware, that if you don't feel 100%, put somebody else in. Patrick Mahomes does not step on that field at 30%, 50%. Plain and simple, okay? So the Denver Broncos beat the Kansas City Chiefs at full strength. Let's not fucking speak out of turn here. It is absolutely the Denver Broncos beat the Chiefs at full strength. And that is something that everyone across the league needs to take notice in terms of how to beat the Chiefs in the long run. Because like I said, I heard out, they're still the defending champs. They're still the defending champs. And the Denver Broncos did something that not many teams in the last 8 years or 7 years or however long Patrick Mahomes has played in the National Football League have ever done to him. Ever done. Not like I said, I don't know what the statistic is, but I would find it very, very hard to find a single game where Patrick Mahomes scored under double digits and had five turnovers. I don't think that is a single game that's ever happened in his career. Plain and simple. It wasn't and like I said, you can say what you want about Russell Wilson, say that about the other thing. Sean Payton knew exactly how to win that football game. Going into the fourth quarter, Jimmy, Patrick Mahomes touched the ball one possession. One possession in the third quarter. One possession. You can say what you want, Russell Wilson, you pay him all this money to fucking hand the ball off. Yeah, I don't care. You win football games certain ways. And that's how teams need to take what Sean Payton has done. Absolutely has. And like I said, it's a big moment for this organization and getting things back on track. Like I said, obviously, Russell Wilson, you're tired of this fat contract for a while. And I don't know what this draft position will end up being. It'll probably be around 7 to 12 area, somewhere around there at the end of the season. So, like I said, you're not going to get Caleb Williams. That's out of the picture. You're not going to get Drake May, more than likely, unless you trade up, which you definitely won't. Shedeur Sanders may be there. Who knows what happens with that situation. Like there's room for improvement off of this. That's the most important thing. If you like I said, you can say all you want about the Broncos and how piss poor they've been because 8 years, and every single statement you'll say is true. But my God, this has got to be the turning point that changes everything. That gives this fan base, gives this organization, gives the guys in the locker room something to be like, you know what, this ship is turning. The ship is absolutely turning. I realize I'm saying all this with a clown face, and all of this can come back to bite me in the ass so damn quickly, but yeah. We'll see.
Well, I've pulled up the stats, so let's talk about the stat with Patrick Mahomes. He's only been held under 20 points 9 times. In those 9 games where he scored less than 20 points, the 2 times that he's been held under 10 was a loss 27-3 to the Tennessee Titans in the 2021 season and this most recent weekend with the Denver Broncos. So it's only two times in his entire career as a starter the Chiefs have scored less than 10 points. The Titans 2 years ago, and now the Broncos this year. Last thing that I wanted to talk about with this game and the question that I thought of as you were talking about the win and what it means for the Broncos, is it more impressive for the Detroit Lions in opening week to beat a team that was depleted in the Kansas City Chiefs with no Kelce, no Chris Jones during the holdout situation and Kelce being hurt? Or is it more impressive that the Broncos now in week eight, when the Chiefs have kind of worked out all their kinks, brought all their players back and had all of their guys on the field, is it more impressive for the Broncos win over the Chiefs, or is the Lions win over the Chiefs week one more impressive?
Look, I'm going to be careful with my words here because the Lions are a far superior team than Denver Broncos. So let's just not take – let's not –
Are
let's
they?
Not,
they got pretty much the same score as the Broncos did against
still,
the Raiders.
Still a 5-2 football club. That's all I'm going to say. Still a 5-2 football club, okay? And they are a team that has a talent, much more talent across the board than the Broncos do currently. But I will say the Broncos win just because at the point in part of the season, right? By week – what are we at, 7 or 8, whatever week it is?
That was week 8. We're going into week 9.
Yeah, by week 8, you have to think, oh, the Chiefs are figuring out what their identity is this year. By week 1, there's the ring hangover, there's the banner hangover, there's the championship hangover, all things that Denver Nuggets didn't do, but that the Kansas City Chiefs may have run into when they face the Lions, plain and simple. When you face a I'm not going to say entirely polished, but a more polished team in terms of week 8 football team that of winning games, then that's a more outstanding victory, in my opinion. Like I said, this defense did more to stop this team. The offense figured out how to win and put up 20 plus points to win you a football game, plain and simple. And like I said, yeah, the Broncos lost 2 weeks ago against the Chiefs. They still held them to 19 points, Jimmy. It's still under 20 points. Like I said, I'm not going to keep pulling up stats, but there's very, very few teams that have held. Like, I don't know what the records for the Chargers.
It's only nine games that he scored under 20 points in his entire career.
Exactly. And so not many teams have held him to twice in one season, holding him to under 20 points. And let's not forget, Jimmy, that's Patrick Mahomes' first road division loss.
Lost to the Broncos, first road division loss.
Like, there's a lot of monkeys off the back right now that a can of worms are opening. And that's that. And like I said, what's the best way to put that? This is Tom Brady losing to Tennessee in the playoffs kind of thing. I won't say that far because by no means is Patrick Mahomes at Tom Brady's point in that of his career at that point. He's much younger and still a lot more ahead of him. But this is a massive turning point for the AFC in general, of seeing how they can move on to Super Bowl and how they can replicate success.
I equate it to like the extreme sports example. I read Searching for Superman, and they talked about how the sports are able to progress and how humans are able to progress with their mindsets. All it takes is for somebody to be able to do it. So they talked about Tony Hawk. He had never thrown, I think it was the 920 at that point. It had never been done by anybody. He had never been able to land it. He landed it one time, and now we're able to see 12-year-olds that can land a 920 in like their third or fourth year skateboarding. So once people are able to see it happen, and the same thing has happened with the Chiefs. They got beat by the Bengals in the playoffs, and the Bengals went to the Super Bowl that year. Now teams have figured out how to beat them, and now the Broncos showed that these AFC West teams can beat them when he comes on the road, when he goes to their house. So we're going to start seeing things open up the floodgates. I gave you 20 minutes for your win. It was a big win. But, I mean, the Bengals beating the – San Francisco 49ers, who were 5-2, also in week 8. I'm glad that you said the week 8 win was more impressive than the week 1 win, because I don't even need to talk about the first three weeks of the NFL season right now. I wish that I could. I wish the Bengals would give me something in September and early October to be excited about, but they never do. They raise my heart rate. They make me get all nervous. And then now we finally see that was, and I know it hurt. Here's how you know I know it hurt. Last week, I took out the Bengals players because they were on byes, and they hadn't been producing for me. So you know what? It was also the fact that I forgot that they were still on my bench. But Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow scored a cool 70 points in the league that I have them with on my bench. That was painful.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I've had a rough week in fantasy football too this week, I will say. But that hurts. When you bench two guys, you're like,
but it doesn't hurt as much because it's so great otherwise. Joe Burrow 283, three touchdowns. He was, I think he's only sacked three times, as I'm able to look at it, against a very, very talented defensive line in San Francisco. The defense on San Francisco, I was surprised the Bengals were able to put up at least 20 points, let alone 31, because the Bengals hadn't put it together at all this season, but they did. They finally did. And guess what? I was listening. Like I said, I listened back to the episode. I said they need to run the damn football in order to win this game. They ran the football with Joe Mixon. They continually fed him. They ran the football with Joe Burrow, too. I have the stats pulled up right now. Burrow had, I think, three design runs and three scrambles. Total of six carries for 43 yards. Mixon had 16 carries for 87 yards and a touchdown. And
very
just,
ballsy to have three designed runs. Were they all? I don't think they're all QB sneaks, but very, very.
No, it was all quarterback draws. It was all draw was plays fair, where he's – and he's not sliding. He didn't slide. He was diving for extra yardage, and he was trying to show as much confidence on that leg. Like, it's hard for me to say that it's 100% heals from where we started at the beginning of the season, but it didn't look like he was going to strain it. He looked healthy. Everybody looked healthy in that defense. I was a little nervous with Hendrickson for a second, but he came back in and made a lot of impact. I think, too, you do have to point out, like, San Francisco didn't do the things that they needed to win this game. If you don't have Deebo Samuel, then you need to feed Christian McCaffrey the ball. They were able to run for decent success. That was what was brought up last night, because, you know, we do Talking the Gridiron with Brian, who's a big 49ers fan. And he did bring up, like, that the turning point of the game. We also had Jordan on from the Variety Sports Network, who's also a Bengals fan. The turning point of the game was that drop from Ayuk going in at halftime. They were about to get into field goal range. You were going to make it an even closer game at that point. The Bengals were kind of stalling out. Like, their offense looked really good, but then they had that moment in the middle of the game where they couldn't do anything. You had the opportunity at that point, you know, and the turnover inside the five going in at halftime. I was ready I was about to look up Irv Smith's address. I never say that, and I don't want to be that fan, but at that moment, I had a flash in my head. It was an intrusive thought, like, I could do this.
It doesn't help that we have friends that we do shows with that are 49ers fans. So that's probably the toughest part about it. But like I said, I think this is the biggest win of the season for you. I think there's zero doubt about that. I think, like I said, to show yourself against this caliber type of defense, this caliber type of offense too, in my opinion, that's such a massive momentum boost. And like I said, it's such a momentum thing for the Bengals. Like I said, getting back to a position where you can win your division, 4-3 now, that's a massive movement of coming back from 0-3. Four wins in a row, that's something you massively, massively, massively needed. And now you can propel that to possibly getting or sniffing the Ravens for the number one spot in the division. As for the 49ers, man, that's three straight losses. That is three straight losses. We sat on the show, Jimmy, and including myself, giving Brock Purdy all this love, all the flowers in the world, after that Cowboys game where they absolutely just came in and sunned them, is a nice way to put it, sunned them. Yeah, this is becoming a problem. This is absolutely becoming a problem. Since we're dressed up like this, I think it's best equated to Superman without his cape, the Joker without Harley Quinn, Batman without the bat signal. It's Brock Purdy without his weapons on offense turns into a dying man, is all I'm going to say. You lose one guy, you're going to lose. You lose two guys, you're fucked. Like I said, the last couple of weeks, you don't have McCaffrey fully healthy last week, that hurts you. You don't have Deebo Samuel this week.
Don't have Trent Williams for either game, and you're giving up a lot more pressure.
It's a glaring, glaring obvious thing. And like I said, I'm not going to sit here and say Purdy's going to lose his job and that this time the other thing. But like I said, this is a reason why he was the last pick in the NFL drafts. Like he's not Tom Brady. Unfortunately, he's not Tom Brady, and you cannot have him sit here as a second year quarterback, seventh round rookie or second year quarterback, sit here and say that he is the polished guy that the 49ers need him to be. To be a Super Bowl champion, plain and simple, because the roster around him is definitely Super Bowl caliber. I don't know if Brock Purdy is that guy for that position though. Right now, that's the only thing, and like I said, what we've been saying since week one, Jimmy, the biggest downfall of the 49ers is going to be the ball, the guy who touches the ball every single offensive snap, and it's not the center, it's the other one. So we'll see if this hurts them. But three losses in a row, oof, there's going to be questions.
I do want to bring this up too. The play where Joe Burrow escaped from Nick Bosa, that was reminiscent of his Heisman season. That was an awesome moment. And then after the
Johnny
game,
Manziel-esque flipping around, turning around.
Burrow did that in the button. He did that in the SEC championship against Georgia because I was nervous. I thought they were going to lose to Georgia that year, and he made that play, and that was what sealed him basically the Heisman and one of the big defining moments of his college career. He had one of those this weekend. They shared a moment at the end of the game because they are former teammates at Ohio State. He's like, man, it was a good win. Nick Bosa's like, but you made our bye week shit now. But if anybody was going to do that, I'm glad it was you. I'm glad it was Joe Burrow and the Bengals and not somebody else because
it's a good team.
This is the week where you can look at a loss against the Bengals now and go, okay, they are a good team. The NFC West, basically, that's the only teams that can look up and say they've lost to the Bengals now. NFC West champs. We play in the AFC North, but we're NFC West champs. I wish I said it last night. I'm hoping that this now turns into wins against AFC opponents. I'm hoping that this turns into wins against AFC North opponents. Because if we don't win division games, we don't win games in our conference, don't mean shit to beat San Francisco the way that you did. So we got to make it worth something now, but it was encouraging. They were giving me shit last night. 2 weeks ago, we had to talk you off the ledge. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, we were 2-3, hoping to limp one more game along to the bye week. Things can change quickly in the NFL.
Yes.
My, how the turntables. I could have dressed up as Michael Scott. The kids would have probably gotten a kick out of that more so than anybody else. I think that's a good enough segment for Victory Monday. We promised some Halloween content. It's been scrolling on the screen if people are watching, and we just had to do a whole 30 minutes of NFL analysis in Halloween costumes. If you're listening, this sounds just like every other episode. If you're watching, you're like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, what am I doing right now at this point? And unfortunately, this is like I said, this is the only time I've dressed up for Halloween this year. So you guys get to see my only Halloween costume for the year. So congratulations!
And you're getting to see what my kids are going to walk in, and we're learning. This is interesting. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm finishing my lesson on the Israel-Hamas conflict tomorrow in class, and I'm going to be dressed as Superman.
That's brutal. That's fucking brutal is all I'm going to say.
It is. It's interesting. I enjoy teaching them the current events because I think I told you last week, but I haven't said it on the show. We were kind of talking about World War II, and I had some kids who thought that Chuck Norris swooped down on a bald eagle and the Americans were like, bah, 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 and the war was over. I was like, no, that's not why it happened. The U.S. didn't fight while the rest of the world was fighting for 5 years. So we were the best. We were in the best shape. That was so I had to burst their bubble a little bit. Let's talk some Halloween. Halloween. I said we're going to tell – I hope that you have some trick-or-treat. I'm sure you do because you had a group of friends that were kind of close in your neighborhood. I'm sure you guys got into some mischief on Halloween, not to out anybody or give you guys up to – I'm pretty sure statute of limitations because it's – how long has it been since you trick-or-treated, Nico? Let's be
– 15 years. I think the last time I trick-or-treated was maybe 10 years old. 11 years old, 12 years old, somewhere around there. It's like, I want to say fifth or sixth grade. It's been that long.
But elementary school, you guys would dress up. I'm sure you dressed up and did the parade. So you got to see everybody else's costumes, right? Or is that just a thing?
Not necessarily parades, but we did have my grandparents growing up were part owners of obviously a soccer club. And there'd obviously always be a Halloween bash and Halloween costume contest and all that kind of stuff that we do. So we had some family friends as well that we did a haunted house spree of seven straight haunted houses. I don't need to go into full details, but basically scarred me for the rest of my life going to seven straight haunted houses in one night. That's all I'll say. But Halloween, I'm not going to sit here and say it's my favorite.
We're pushing it for this kind of content here. We're doing it for you guys, but this is not my favorite holiday whatsoever.
No, it's fun. It's fun. Like I said, I don't get to look like this unless I go to Comic-Con, which I probably still wouldn't look like this. But like I said, it's the one time of the year that I get to look like an absolute idiot. So the 364 days of the year, I get to do it, look like an idiot for free. This time of the year, I get to do it and put on a show. So at least I get to do it. Being as an adult, it's a little more fun and get to dress up as some weirder, funkier things. Like I said, last year I was an Avs player with the Stanley Cup, and then now this year the MVP, the Joker. So that's it's back-to-back years. I can't complain about two championship costumes. So
you're having to put together stuff. Anything that stands out? So you said you got scarred from the haunted house spree. What was the moment where you were like, you know, Halloween horror movies, not my thing. What got you at the haunted house where you were like
the chainsaw chasing me out of the haunted house, the every single person in the haunted house wanting to scare the snot out of us because of who we're with. You can go along the many different things. I never started watching haunted movies or horror movies until the last couple of years, if I'm being honest with you. And I only will watch horror movies now if there's like a good story with it. Like I enjoyed it. Like I enjoyed, I'm not going to say enjoyed, but what's the Key and Peele movies?
Us and Get Out. Us is more of a scary movie because that was, I mean, that movie bended my mind. And then I was screwed up for a little bit of time.
Those I enjoy because the stories and there's a background to it, and it to it specifically as well. Throw into there because it's a kid's story. But like I said, I enjoy the non-gory side of scary movies and not the Paranormal Activity, the snot out of you, that kind of thing is what I'm gonna say. Jimmy, and I think Jimmy can stand with me on this, is that we're not going to be the ones to be going to those movies. Our significant others, and we have them at the time, are going to be the ones carrying us out, is all I'm gonna say. So
yeah, I think about it, and my grandma likes to tell this story where she had a friend that would always set up like a really intricate, like that was their thing. They would have their friends come and they would invite people from the community, and their friends would play different characters around the house. And that year my grandma was cast as a dead nun, and she had like white makeup on. The Exorcist was old, but like as an Italian Catholic boy, The Exorcist was like the first time that I knew of a scary ish type thing. I never watched it when I was a kid, honestly. I hated scary movies until I felt like I was old enough. I feel like I could fight Jason off. If I was stuck at Camp Crystal Lake nowadays, I feel a lot better about my chances. But when I was a kid, I was like, hell to the no. I am Jason's gonna just one shot me with that damn machete and I'm just gonna be done. But I was walking through this haunted house, and my parents already knew, like I was the kind of kid that my parents had to create monster spray that they would spray in my closet and spray under my bed. Their monster spray was an old Windex bottle that they peeled the label off of that they just filled with water. And they'd be like, psh, 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 psh. Okay, no more monsters. But I'm going through this haunted house. I'm pretty sure I might have been dressed as Superman back then. My mom used to draw the swirl on with a Sharpie. And I recognized someone that looked a lot like my grandmother at that time. I was like 3 or 4. I walk up and she was in character. She was like, oh, he'll love this. Ugh. I was like, and I put my head and I cried for a good amount of time. And then my grandma likes to say, you kept looking at me going, why did you do this? So like just made her the most, the guiltiest grandmother of all time. She's like, I thought I was going to make this lasting, endearing moment. And I just totally traumatized my grandson for the rest of his life. He's never going to like this.
It's going to be a betrayal against your grandson that you thought would be a funny moment. Then you're like, oh my God, he'll never recover from this.
My therapist is going to thank her in the future when I buy them, they, them, whoever it ends up being. I'm going to buy you a vacation house because we're going to have to unpack this. Why do I hate going to church? It's not necessarily because I hate religion, but The Exorcist and my grandmother scared me to death when I was 3 years old as a nun. As a dead nun. She played the part perfectly. She could have been an extra in The Exorcist if we needed it.
Yeah, I will never sit down and watch those movies. I like I said, we call us puffs, call us the softest podcast in the world. That just look, we have our things we enjoy, okay? And getting the snot scared out of us is not something we both enjoy. That's why I've become friends this for so long, okay? And there's a reason why. I think it was either last year or 2 years ago when we did Halloween rankings of fall activities, we had not put haunted houses in those rankings. Neither of us will ever sign up for that, okay? So I'm gonna say, literally sign up. You're gonna have to do some hard convincing. Pause on that to get Jimmy and I to go to a haunted house, or to get just scared for fun and get paid to get scared is all I'm gonna say.
No, I'm looking it up now. Since we obviously don't have any haunted house experiences, let's go to the good old trusty internet. Let's see. Are you a believer? Here's the thing that we'll ask first, because it kind of goes hand in hand with Halloween. You don't like horror movies, but when it comes to the paranormal, do you believe in that kind of stuff? If you were to stay in the Stanley Hotel, which is the hotel that The Shining was based off of, do you agree that there may be something in another dimension? Do you agree in spirits kind of thing?
I'm not gonna have a spirit come up behind me and attack me right now as I'm saying this. So I will say that, like, yeah, I believe in not necessarily ghosts, but like things that are on the other side that we can't see. I do believe in a little bit of that. I'm not gonna sit here and go to a fucking hotel out of the blue and say, I need this, fucking come scare me. I think it just happens. I think that happens where you stay places and just go to different things that you just don't realize. I think the hotel in Glenwood Springs, I think as well, not just the Stanley Hotel in Pikes Peak, but the one in Glenwood Springs is haunted. And I do remember seeing some things, being like, this is a little creepy for me. This is not, I'm not having a good time. So yeah, I do believe in those few things. But I'm, like I said, I'm not going to sign up to go seek them out is all I'm going to say. But yeah, I do. Like I said, I do think ghosts are, not the joking ghosts, but little angels above me and kind of those kind of things. I believe in those kind of things, not necessarily fucking haunted motherfucker just chasing after me constantly, but little angels over my head, little glowing things. I think I'll sign me up for that.
Okay, so this is gonna be good, because I just read through this one and I'm a little bit already creeped out. So this, to get us all in the Halloween spirit, here's a spooky story for you guys. I fell asleep in the living room on a small pull-out mattress on the floor when I was about 17. I fell asleep facing upward, something which I never do. I woke up, or so I thought. Turns out I was sleeping, and I was stuck on my ceiling looking down at my sleeping body as a crippling corpse moved towards my body. It grabbed me by the ankles and pulled my knee far, far off my little mattress. I woke up in a cold sweat with my legs hanging off my bed, arms above my head, and the covers and clothes moved up as if I was dragged. 3 days later, I had a mild bruising on my ankles.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I stopped listening halfway through because I was just like, nope, I'm already done with this. Done with this is all I'm going to say.
Have you ever had, like, sleep paralysis? Like,
like I said, I'm knocking on wood right now, Jimmy. Like I said, I still have to fall asleep tonight. I don't know why you're trying to scare the snot out of me and make me stay up till 3 a.m. tonight after I watched the Raiders on Monday Night Football on Primetime Football. That's enough scariness for me. So yeah, I'm not gonna be the one to say we shouldn't be talking about this, but I'm not going to raise my hand and say that I would sign up for any of that.
That's fine. I'm going to give one more for the people who might enjoy it. Let's see if I can find a good one to end on. We don't have to mention it too much, but let's see. We visited my cousins in Waterford around 1995 in upstate New York. We got there and there was a tornado warning, so we were scared. I remember my older cousin was at the top of the stairs when we arrived. Nobody was up there with her, and it looked like she got shoved. We always brought it up at family dinners, I remember, and they moved out soon after because, yeah, upstate New York, though, has a lot of haunted houses and stuff like that around. Albany, definitely check it out. So this person, there was a tornado warning. There happened to be it seemed like there was nobody else in the house, which they could have been wrong about that. Something pushed her little cousin from the top of the stairs once they got there. Something, like I said, we're both obviously a little bit superstitious. Italians always have to be. I always tell the wives' tale, like, if you go to Italy, you get a haircut or you trim your nails. You collect all the clippings that come off of your body and you burn them, because if somebody were to grab either a fingernail clipping or a piece of your hair, they can put a curse on you. So Italians are inherently superstitious. We obviously both I don't need any demons coming to find me in my sleep tonight. I'm good. I need to sleep. I need to wake up at an early hour.
Stories of talking to them get me through the night after having this face paint on me too. The jesters and the little clowns that I was scared of growing up. I stay away.
All right. Now that I've totally scared the shit out of both of us, do you have any awesome, like, did you nail a Halloween costume any year? What was the year that you feel like you nailed your Halloween costume? I know that this year is good, but.
This year is good, but there was a 3-year stretch when I was, let's see, I want to say 6 through 8 years old. Where, like I said, we would go to the Kickers, which is the soccer club that my grandparents at the time owned partially, and we go to the Halloween contest for kids. And yeah, 3 straight years, Jimmy, I was an inflatable sumo wrestler with a mustache, the goatee, the whole thing, and I won the damn kids costume contest 3 years in a row with the same outfit. That's all I'm gonna say. That's the best costume I've ever had by far and away. That costume tops everything I ever did. Most of the years, I would just be so bored and boring. I would be a Power Ranger, or I'd be a clown, a football playing clown, or I'd be a basketball playing clown, or I'd be something along those lines most of the years. But my sumo wrestler run, oh, never forget, man. That was my Jordan era, is all I'm gonna say. That was my prime.
I don't even think I've ever won a costume contest. So the fact that you were a dynasty at a costume contest, that's fairly impressive.
And I'll bring it up as well. There's another dynasty going on in the state of Colorado, not just the Denver Nuggets, not just the Colorado Avalanche. The Burton Bryant dynasty is at an all-time high, okay? My man has placed or won a top three finish in every single costume contest the last 3 years. We went to 4 this year, Jimmy. He got 3 first places and got second to only a goddamn Ken and Barbie pug in a damn motor car. That's the only reason why he got second place and won a contest. But he had his lederhosen this year. He was little Oktoberfest dog. Last year, he was a little cowboy. That's the new dynasty, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of dynasties going around. But Burton, shout out my family's bulldog. He's my poor mom. It's funny because I went to a couple of the contests and with her and at these things, and everyone recognizes him now. I'd be like, oh, these fuckers are back. I think he's gonna win again. It's different people voting every time. They're all like,
put the poodle back in the car. It's not even worth it. Burton just showed up.
They really do feel bad. Like because everyone knows my mom. I saw you. I'm like, how the hell do you know? Or she's like, oh, they were at the last 3 contests we were at. And I was like, Burton won every one. I was like, yeah. They're not happy you're here right now. I'll tell you that. They are not happy. So yeah,
this is your mission. Your mission, since we're dropping the episode tomorrow, and we need to get people to follow the socials. I want Burton content on the podcast feed. I want his Halloween, his costume pictures. Your mom. We need to get those posted on social stat.
As you're telling me about your favorite costume contest and everything, I'll send you the pictures of this year's, and they're top tier. And I think everyone will agree that it is absolutely immaculate.
All right, I'll have that open so I can try and get them up towards the end of the show. Maybe that's what we'll entice everybody with. So if you're not watching, go onto the YouTube watch, because we're going to have Burton's pictures up at the end to talk about his costume championship dynasty. My favorite one, I started off as the very stereotypical. I said I went as Superman. I would have the muscle suit for the pecs and everything up top. My mom would, I would have my hair gelled, and my mom would draw the nice little swirl on my forehead, because I like to put my hair the opposite way. That's the only thing that I can't get about Superman, is I have to put my hair to the one side. He always combs his hair to the other, so my curl would go the opposite way. I had to be perfect. My mom always, that was the thing. She wanted us to be into Halloween because she wanted to help us dress up and find the right costumes. So I did a couple of times. I was the kid that just wore his football uniform. I did the Superman. I did the Power Ranger. One year I got a wild hair. I don't know if you were with us, but that was like one of the first or second times that I was actually trick-or-treating with the Markiel family. And I went as a French maid, Nico. I went full drag, not like makeup or nothing, but I was in a French maid outfit. I had fishnet tights on, and I think I was in like a flat woman shoe, but I went full French maid. It was funny because I was a bigger kid at the time. Obviously those fishnets were getting pushed to the test a little bit, not to gross out all of our listeners and viewers, but yeah, that was a good one. And my favorite one, which is what we used to talk. So in elementary school, they would have all the classes at a certain time in the day. They would just walk around and you would get a train of costumes. So they would start, it was fifth grade was the oldest. Fifth graders would start going through each other's classroom and you'd start a train and it would make a parade. Awesome. And the parents would be able to come in. You'd be able to see all the different costumes, but you get to see everybody that way. And this was right after John Cena at WrestleMania 25.
That's all
in
you
Los
need to
Angeles.
Say. Just John Cena.
Beat JBL, became the WWE champion for the first time. He had released the spinner championship, so I had a replica spinner championship belt. I got the puffed up shirt. I had my John Cena shirt on under on over the top of it. So I had the muscles. I had the wristbands. I had a visor that I wore upside down with my hair spiking through it. And my dad happened to work with a guy that had a legit padlock chain that had I needed a key to get that thing off at the end of the day. Tell me who won the costume contest that year. Who won the costume parade that year?
That should have been you. If it wasn't you, I'd be very, very disappointed. But that is the, like I said, prime Dr. Thugonomics, John Cena. Like, if you were around that during that time, and the young listeners, especially your students, be like, what the fuck? Why the fuck is John Cena that cool? Well, John Cena was that cool. He's still that dude, is all I'm going to say. So, yeah, I sure hope you would have won that contest.
There was no contest associated, but I did get a lot of the looks. Like, people would pass by and go, wait, is that John? Oh, wow. That's John Cena. Like, that looks really – that's like a 8-year-old John Cena. I didn't realize that that's what he would look like if he were 8, but I guess that is what he would look like. All right. I'm uploading the picture. So, like I said, it'll be up there at the end of the episode. I'll have Burton and all of his cuteness.
Yeah. Did you dress up your family's dogs? I know you got your own little squad. I feel like you could do a great family costume with all of them.
I wish we should set them up as like we only have 3 at the house, but I feel like the emotions from Inside Out would be fun because Boomer could be Joy because he's always happy. And then we have like angry and anxiety all throughout the rest of the house. He hates putting anything on. He's like a totally different dog. I can't even put like a hoodie. I had a hoodie on him yesterday when it was snowing and he's like, I don't like this. I don't want to be in this. Take it off. I can't. I put jerseys on him during playoff games and he's absolutely pissed. Those are my best costumes. I'm interested to see. I had a few. So one girl this year did full Scream, and she even had a voice modulator. One of my students. I was like, I'm impressed, but nervous.
A little scary, but all right. We'll keep going.
Hopefully you're not as into Scream as you move on. No, but nobody needs to get disemboweled out here. Let's see. I had a lot of people dress up as me for Spirit Week, which was an interesting drawing on fake mustaches for kids. They would all come up to me with like a washable Crayola markers. Like, can you draw me a mustache? I was like, oh, sure. I can figure out how it's supposed to look. So I had a bunch of mini Tom Selleck's pretty much walking around that one day. They were all like, oh, I'll just wear one of my dad's shirts and his pants. I was like, I am a little offended that you that's feel like you can just wear your dad's. Yeah, that's just what I dress as. You need to wear your dad's clothes. I'm not your dad. I'm not your dad. All right. Moving forward with the Halloween, favorite candy that you used to get trick-or-treating. What was the thing that somebody could drop in your bag on Halloween night that you'd be like, no matter what anybody offers, I'm not trading that. That is the holy grail of Halloween candy.
I have my Mount Rushmore, but number one, easily is a Snickers bar. When we were little playing football, I don't think you're on the team yet. My first year playing football, Coach Ken would give out Snickers, the defense player game, offense player game, whatever. I tried so damn hard to get a damn Snickers bar every year, every single game. And I remember specifically being like, getting my first one and being like, oh my God, I finally did it. I got my first Snickers bar. And I tasted it. And I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. And from that point on, I just loved Snickers bars. I still love Snickers bars. That's my go-to chocolate candy by far and away every single year. And yeah, that's just a chocolate bar. And it's a random one. You get the minis. It doesn't matter. If there's a Snickers bar in the pile, I'm taking it. Number two, sweethearts. I love the little small sweethearts or the little small packs. There are tall and skinny. Pause on that because I could definitely get out of context with this. Tall, skinny, those, love those, especially when they get, oh my God, I got to be very, very careful, especially when they get really, really big. They taste really good. All right, I'll end that one there. And then Jolly Ranchers, love Jolly Ranchers as a kid.
Yeah, Jolly Ranchers were good.
Pause again on this. I could suck on those all day. And then finally a Hershey's bar with the almonds in it. I love those.
Ooh, the almond ones.
Okay. Yeah, I love the almonds or the, like the God, Like, this whole fucking segment, Jimmy, you're really just fucking me here. The anything with a nut in it with chocolate, it's delicious. Okay, so I'm just going to stop there. But yeah, I'm while I'm ahead, because this whole segment is going to get out of context 100% for me.
Yeah, I can't tell you ones that I like to eat, because if you know me, I don't eat candy. I drink soda. That's my dirty sugar. That's what I'm addicted to. I was never a candy person. I just like a sweets thing. It wasn't great for me, but I would, that gave me a leg up on the competition, because I would trade and I would be able to, that's where I started to use my reverse psychology. I would get my siblings to give me all the good candy, all the ones that they would rather eat, because I would entice them with, I would get a Twix, be like, hey, you get 2 for 1. If you give me that Reese's peanut butter cup, I know it tastes better. I know that Twix are kind of, it's a cookie. It's a cookie covered in chocolate. You like cookies covered in chocolate. You're a baby. Eat this. I would be able to trade those back with me. It was always nice. I liked having – you use pillowcases, or did you use actual candy buckets?
Actual buckets. I was not a pillowcase guy.
Pillowcase kid.
That's the way to go. 100% yeah. Way to go, because you have more candy. The buckets, it gets full, and then you have to start carrying stuff in your pockets. It's just not the move. Like you said, if you're a small trick-or-treater this year, you're listening to this going out tonight, yeah, go get a pillowcase, because that's the move.
I think the pillowcase was awesome. And then last question, did you ever get involved in the TPing/egging? I'm not advocating for this, but this always happens on Halloween night. Were you, or did you know of people that were involved?
Never.
How would you even ask my star?
I don't know what you're talking about, Jim. I'm cool.
Kids, if your friends suggest it, make sure somebody else is the squeaky wheel. You don't want to be the squeaky wheel, but make sure you guys talk yourselves out of it, because it's not.
If you get caught, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Also, make sure you're not the slowest.
Yeah, make sure that you're not the one that's going to get caught. Bring a fat friend. Bring a friend that ate his candy early. He's got a tummy ache. When somebody shows up to try and chase you guys off, you got to have one person that's got to bite the bullet for everybody else. You give him your candy at the end of the night, because he gave you your thrill. But you got to have one person that's
He's got to be reliable, and he's got to be slower than you. That's the two qualifications. If he's not both, and you're him, I'm sorry. That's all I'm going to say.
You got to take it. You got to take one for the team. Last thing for Halloween, and then we'll get into our week 9 picks before we finish up the show. Horror character. This is, you got to pick one. What is the horror character, basically slasher character? So Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers, Scream. We can talk about the Scream characters. Who do you think you would least like to have to avoid running from?
Well, I'm 100% going to say Jason. Isn't that the one with the Michael Myers mask, right?
No, Michael Myers is the one with the William Shatner mask. The guy with the coveralls and the white, blank white mask.
Okay, I will say that one then, because I think I saw recently it was something Kobe would listen to, that theme music, or the Halloween theme music, just preparing for games, and I can't replicate it, and
keep talking, I'll get it.
Like he would just play that song just to get a killer mentality, and hearing that music of him just walking up on me and scaring me, I think I am going to pass on that, is all I'm going to say. And like I said, I never saw those movies, but I've seen it. Yeah. That's what Kobe Bryant would listen to before an hour, hours before a game, just that on loop. And when people overheard him being like, are you okay? Like, are you okay? It's like Halloween. It's fucking February 13th. It's Valentine's Day time. You're listening to Halloween theme music. Yeah, I'm about to kill somebody, and that's the mentality. Yeah, I think I'll pass on that one.
I'm all good. I'm all good on that. Let's see, one that I would least like to be caught with. Obviously, I've already said I feel like Jason. I could take Freddy's always interesting. And the reason why, and especially, I know you haven't seen the reboot, but if you're a horror movie fan and you've seen the reboot of the Friday the 13th, Jason's an athlete. Like, he's running, he's chucking axes 50 feet to catch people. And, that was Jason. But Freddy, in the reboot, he actually gets his guys so sleep deprived that they end up, he doesn't even have to kill them. He just scares the shit out of them so much in their sleep that they want to kill themselves. He, that's his opening kill of the movie, is that he has a guy standing up and he's like, I can't sleep because I know that he's going to be there. And he like cuts his own throat. I'm like, oh, Freddie is not one to mess with because you can never win. You always have to go to sleep.
Don't sign me up for any of them. Look, now that we said least like to run from, which one do you think you can score up? I'm punting Chucky. Chucky doesn't have a fucking chance is all I'm going to say. I don't fuck around with dolls, and I'm going to tell you right now, that motherfucker runs at me, I'm fucking punting that shit. Like Pat McAfee.
Yeah. Chucky, I think we can handle. You know who I was thinking about that I was about to say? Did you see the trailer for that movie Megan with the AI robot that kills the
shit out of her too.
Are you
– you chance.
That thing is like a sophisticated robot that learns how to fight. Chucky's just a doll that's possessed by a psychopath. I'm agreeing with you. Chucky's dead. Megan's like it's a solid steel robot.
We're two pretty big guys, is all I'm gonna say.
She's got the strength of a man.
I like my chances, Jimmy. That's all I'm gonna say. I like my chances.
I'll beat the shit out of Billy Loomis and the Scream guys. I'll smack the shit out of Matthew Lillard.
The Scream guy, I would laugh it off because I've seen the Scream movie. They're not the Scream movies. What's the Scary Movie? That made the Scream character not scary for me. That's the only reason why.
I was just the high school losers behind them. I would be able to smack the shit out of. And Michael Myers, it would be a scrap. Michael Myers wins fights. In a couple of his movies, he's had to fight his victims, and he does. Like he's built. He's a successful serial killer for a reason. I'm never going near middle of nowhere Illinois, especially not in October though.
And another reason why I just don't love horror movies, like they're not realistic. Like fuck it, have some fight or flight, dog. I'm not just fucking taking it. God damn.
That's the old Geico commercial. Like, oh, let's go hide behind the chainsaws. Why don't we just get in the running car? Yeah. You're crazy.
Like, have some, like, come on, have some fight or flight. Like, don't get
if you're the final girl in a horror movie, you have to run up the stairs because you have to corner yourself with the killer in the house. The door's open. Nobody's standing at the door.
You can run across the street and get the neighbors to help you, but nope, let's go right in the corner of the house. Yeah.
I'm going to go to the place where I'd have to jump out of a second story window. That's what I'm going to do.
Reasons why I don't like horror movies. One, scares the shit out of me. Two, come on. Fucking
two, you're too stupid. You're too stupid. I get invested in you and then you're dumb. And if you're having sex in a horror movie, we already know you're dead.
You're dead. You're done.
And I'm not, and I'm pushing myself by saying this, but we all know if you're a certain person, if you're a certain kind of person, you're the first one to die.
Well, that's unfortunate, but that's just how it goes. Sorry.
I think Jordan Peele did change that. I'm pretty sure in Us, it was a white person that was the first one to die.
I think it was, yeah. And I think the white person were the only people killed in the other movie too.
Yeah.
So the upside, not the Upside Down. What the hell was it called? The Get Out. Get Out.
Get Out. Yeah. I want to see those in its entirety. The no free shout outs, but the Dead Meat YouTube channel, they put out just like the kill counts where the guy gives you a very brief synopsis and tries to make it funny while he's going through it. And I've seen a lot of horror movies in like the 30-minute just the kills versions. Those are fun. I enjoy those. I don't think I could sit down and watch one in its entirety. You know what one really creeps me out now that we're wrapping this one up? And if people haven't seen it, but Halloween 3. Halloween 3 has nothing to do with Michael Myers. It's because Halloween was initially supposed to be like a series of movies that they were all titled Halloween, and it was going to be different stories. So this one, it's called Halloween 3, and it's like Night of the Witch. But this evil toy company sells these masks that are voodoo-induced, and like they have a TV commercial that they watch, and the kids are supposed to have their mask on when they watch, and the voodoo like disintegrates their head when they watch the commercial. And that's how it ends. That's just how it all ends. That's the end. Like, horror movies
that's another thing. No, add number three to the list why we don't like horror movies. There's no happy endings. Pause on that. But there isn't any.
Deshaun Watson, Us too. We hate horror movies. No happy endings. That's just the breaks. That's what happens here. Week 9 NFL picks.
Well, but before we do this, Jimmy, I do want to – this is I think it's a major sports – conversation right now in the world is I don't know if you saw the fight. I saw the fight. I watched the highlights of it. But Tyson Fury barely beats an MMA guy is all I'm gonna say. Barely beat him. And I know we go back and forth on this, but MMA guys or boxing guys being the best man on the planet. I think Tyson Fury's hurting himself very, very much right now, because I find it very, very hard pressed to think that Francis Ngannou, who had the only knockdown of the fight, by the way, didn't win that fight, is all I'm going to say.
Fury looked beat up. Like, he had a bunch of bruises. Ngannou hits like a truck. I'm pretty sure he said Ngannou hits harder than Deontay Wilder. So a couple more shots land, and he said, well, they caught me behind the ear. Yeah, that's where everybody aims. They want to hit you right behind the ear. You know why? You go to sleep. You go to sleep faster.
Took a Tyson Fury elbow to wobble Ngannou, is all I'm going to say. And the whole conversation of Bassman on the planet, boxing guys won't ever step into a MMA ring. And MMA guys are stepping into the boxing ring and putting on these type of performances. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. And look, a guy with a wrestling background in Jimmy, and a guy in a jiu-jitsu family and background in myself, we love MMA to death. And it's unfortunate what boxing has become, because, like I said, at one point it was the staple in combat sports. Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman and company. Right now, the biggest draws in boxing right now. Who do you think the biggest draws in boxing are right now, Jimmy?
It's KSI and it's Logan Paul.
Logan Paul, Jake Paul, and I'll put Francis Ngannou in that conversation now.
Tommy Fury. But Tommy Fury's made a buttload of money fighting those guys too.
That's the biggest draws in boxing. That's all you need to know about where that is, unfortunately, right now.
No, it's a sad state of affairs. I love watching old school boxing. If I'm ever in the need of watching like some good old fashioned violence, the Arturo Gatti Mickey Ward documentary where they talk about the trilogy. And I'll throw on The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg after that just to watch the movie again. Who's fighting? Not you, not you, not you, and not you. I'm the one that's fucking fighting here.
That's such a good movie. If you don't
I hate Boston accents, and I watch that movie religiously.
If you've never seen The Fighter, my God, stop the show, put it on, and come back, because that's still one of the best sports movies. It's not the best, but it's in the conversation for one of the best.
It's definitely up there. Let's talk pick 'em. Like we said, the Broncos are on a bye, so we're not picking their game. We normally have five games this week.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm a man of my word, Jimmy, but I don't know what I'm going to do next week. I don't know. I don't know if I keep picking them against them or if I turn the ship around. We'll see. We'll have to stay tuned for next week, but I don't know. I may be not a man of my word going forward. Who knows? We'll see.
Hopefully we have two victory Mondays in a row is all I'm going to say, because the Broncos get an automatic victory Monday since it's a bye week and they won going into the bye. But we are going to have four games to pick. Four games are the Thursday night game with Tennessee and Pittsburgh, Dolphins and Chiefs taking place in Frankfurt, Germany. It's going to be the early game on Sunday night football with the Bills and Bengals, and then Monday night football with the Chargers and Jets. So that's why we're only having four, because the Bengals are one of the primetime games and the Broncos are on a bye. But we're starting Thursday night in the Steel City with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going to try and take down the Tennessee Titans led by one Will Levis. And we're going to see who gets the most first downs.
Will Levis Titans. And look, the Titans are a frisky team. They just traded Kevin Byard off to Philadelphia, so he's no longer with the team, right? Their defense is heavily undermanned now. But there's one thing that Vrabel loves to do is win gritty football games, right? He loves to win gritty football games. And Will Levis put on a damn show, is all I'm going to say. Malik Willis had one possession, got injured. Will Levis stepped in and said, you fucked up. It's Levy time, baby.
You ever heard of Wally Pip? Why are you asking? No reason.
No reason at all. Yeah, look, the Steelers are a team that defense is still very, very good. It's going to be a big test. It's going to be a big test for young Will Levis's career. But there's rumors that it's going to be the Trubisky show on Thursday night, or it could be the Mason Rudolph show. I don't expect Derrick Henry to get traded as we're recording this. Obviously, as the show's coming out, the deadline will be coming up. I don't expect Derrick Henry to be traded. So that means I expect him still to be on the team. Everything's pointing to that he will still be a Titan, even though there's rumors swirling about him being traded. But for that instance, I'm going the Titans. I can't pick the Steelers and Trubisky / Rudolph manning a goddamn Matt Canada offense. The unders in these football games have been fucking – in my primetime football games have been absolutely excellent. This is a game where the under is – I don't care what number it's at, I'm hammering it.
I will never pick the Steelers. I don't want to pick the Steelers, and I want the Tennessee Titans to get a win on Thursday Night Football. It's going to be ugly. Al Michaels is going to continue to be depressed and have no energy up in the booth, but it's going to be a gritty come from nobody's going to score much. It's going to be like a defensive touchdown is what wins it, and I'm putting my faith in Tennessee. So we both have the Titans kicking things off Thursday Night Football. That moves us to early Sunday morning out in Frankfurt. Das Boot, yeah. That's good. See, yes, it's good. It's good. It's good. Must. Guten Morgen from Frankfurt, Germany. The Dolphins and the Chiefs. Chiefs lose out on a home game. They're also only going to get one full day in Germany before the game happens. So far with these international games, the team that gets out there, which Mike McDaniel, you know him. He's already got his team. They're going to Germany.
He may already be there, Jimmy. I don't know what you're talking about. He may be already there.
He's probably already over there. He's drinking beer out of a big shoe glass, waiting for the team to show up. Going to show McGruber in the team hotel. But it's, so far, it looks like the Dolphins are the ones that are getting out there early. The Chiefs are going to try and roll with it. Chiefs, the one thing that I will say with this game that gives me some pause, and I'll just put it out there now. I'm picking Miami because I want to see if they can put things together. If they win this game, I will be able to take them seriously as a contender because I don't know if you've seen the stat, but I think the teams that they've beaten so far are combined like 8 wins and 30 losses on the season. They're not good. They haven't beaten a good team since they played them. The two losses that they have are to the Eagles and to the Bills. So the two other teams that are somewhat decent that they've played, they've lost to. It gives me a little bit of pause knowing that the Chiefs lost to the Broncos in a team that they probably overlooked, so they're not going to get in an overlooked spot here. But I'm going to put my faith in Mike McDaniel. I'm going to trust that they've been out there. They're going to be adjusted to the time zones. So I'm going with Miami. I'm picking the Dolphins to get the win on foreign soil there.
I'm going with Dolphins too. I think we don't talk about outside noise that much and how it affects football games. But look, the Kansas City Chiefs just played in a football game where it was 30-degree weather a mile above sea level. And now, less than 3 days later, 3-4 days later, they're getting on a plane. 8-hour plane ride, or however long it may be, probably more than that, probably 10 to 12-hour plane ride over to Frankfurt, Germany, and get ready to play a football game with Patrick Mahomes already sick, Travis Kelce with Taylor Swift on his mind, and a team that is already just coming off a bad loss. Absolutely, give me the Dolphins. I 2.5. I'm taking the Dolphins here, and I'm riding with it 100%. I just it's not my Broncos fandom against the Chiefs going here. It's just the logistics of it, 100%. So give me the Dolphins.
All right. So far, we're all even. We have Miami. We have Tennessee. Moves us to Sunday Night Football. The Bengals off of a huge win. Bills got another win, so they're back on the right track. These two teams, when they play in prime time, wild things happen. Obviously, we had the DeMar Hamlin situation last year on Monday Night Football. They played again in the divisional round. We all know what happened there where the Bengals kind of just popped them in the face at home. And now Bills are going to Cincinnati where everything took place. There's going to be a lot of emotion, which gives me a little bit of hesitancy. And if you know the Bengals at all, their history in primetime before Joe Burrow, but it still lingers because it was for so long. They sucked in primetime. That was used to be the only time I got to watch the Bengals, and I would just watch them get eaten alive every single time that they played on a Monday or a Sunday night. I have different feelings about them. I'm still riding with my boys. I've rode with them all throughout the season. I don't think I picked against them once so far. So I'm taking Cincinnati. But I think this one, we are likely in for some bullshit. This is going to have some wild moment. There's going to be a lot of emotions, especially early on from the Bills sideline, I assume, with everything that happened. So I'm picking the Bengals, but I'm nervous. This is a tough game. This is another game where if you win, you're on the right track. Like you're moving in the right direction. Zach Taylor said after the game last weekend, you play to win and play your best football in November, December, January. September and October are done with. They suck. November, December, January. Let's see if we're in the right spot. So I'm picking the Bengals here.
I'm going to be the one to say it. Like, this is the best matchup on Sunday Night Football or primetime television we may see all year. Because I don't know if you see the rest of the schedule. It's pretty bad. It is pretty bad why they decided to put some of these games on national television going forward, especially Thursday Night Football. A couple of Monday nights are pretty bad. I think this is maybe the only game we differ on, so that's the only reason why I'm going to go Bills here. Let's try to get one up on you, and you try to get one up on me here. Like I said, I expect a very, very highly contested game. The Bills are a team that has been so damn hot and cold. It's been a damn roller coaster ride for them. It has been up, down, up, down, up, down. And Josh Allen, like I said, they finally figured out a little bit of a running game last week with James Cook. But their passing game is still the backbone of their team. If they can figure out how to run the ball and getting that defense healthy, that'll be helpful. I think they may be a team that may make a move here before this game, if I'm being honest with you. A team that may go get a DB on the market, may go get an offensive line or another tight end to try to boost this offense up a little bit. We'll see. But I'm taking the Bills here. It's different with you. I would not be surprised at all if the Bengals win here, especially after that big win, massive win, four-game win streak going into this week for the Bengals. But I'm going to take the Bills.
Having momentum on your side does crazy things, and the Bengals have a lot of momentum right now. Last game, Monday Night Football, Chargers at the Jets. Chargers in primetime back-to-back weeks. The Jets got a win, but it was so ugly. I didn't even turn that game on. Battle in New York. They got the 3-point win. Zach Wilson's just doing enough to keep them treading water because they still have that hope that Aaron Rodgers is going to miraculously recover from a popped Achilles at 38 years old. But here we are, and they're continuing to do so. It's the defense. It's the deep. That's probably the best defense I've seen since the 2015 Broncos. And if they had any more competency on the other side of the ball at the quarterback position, if they had Kirk Cousins, who unfortunately he just went down with an Achilles injury, bad name to bring up, but it's a name that I'm thinking of. There's a lot of quarterbacks that I could see, like Baker Mayfield right now on this team may be able to do a little bit more with the weapons that are around him. He's proven that he can do more. But
I don't know if you saw Aaron Rodgers throwing the football. This motherfucker's playing football this year. I will bet on it. I will bet on it that he plays a football game this year. But whether it be week 17 or him playing a wild card game in the playoffs because they made it that far somehow and Zach Wilson figured it out. There's going to be studies about this man for years to come about how he's fucking able to move around this good on the torn Achilles. It's plain and simple. Hey, look, is he a far way away from being able to move around the pocket, still be very mobile? Absolutely. It's going to be way different. But this motherfucker's going to play football again this year. And I think it's very, very hard to think that he won't, with how much he's progressed already since week one, right? It's been 7 weeks, and the guy's out here doing dropbacks. Like, that is fucking crazy. Am I not fucking crazy for thinking that? That is wild.
I didn't expect it at all. I didn't expect it at all.
Wild after 7 weeks. God damn. Look, everyone knows my thoughts about the team in or light blue and yellow. I'm picking the Jets here because their defense is look, this is going to be a grind out gritty game because the Chargers put up points against the Bears, who suck, absolutely suck. Okay, the Jets defense is so much better, so much more sound, and so much tougher, especially pass rushing to get to Justin Herbert. That I'm taking the Jets here and I'm running with it. And look, Zach Wilson has looked better the last couple of weeks because he's figured out, oh my God, Breece Hall's behind me. Let me just run the ball, give the ball to him, and make it
all you got to do is exist in those 3 seconds between the snap and you getting Breece the ball.
Exactly. Or the 3-second slant route to Garrett Wilson. One of the two. Either way, one will work. I'm going with the Jets here. I think they're a better all-around football team. And Chargers on primetime, when they're not playing terrible teams, are bound for disaster playing football. So give me the Jets.
I'm going with the Jets also. If you guys watched live last week, you saw the nice new Avs tarp that I got from Dom. Dom's a Jets fan. It's partially because of that, but it's also just I agree with you. I was going to pick the Chargers here. Because I was watching the Sunday night game last night while I was on Talking the Gridiron. It was impressive. But then this Bears defense and the Jets defense are just out total worlds apart. Like I said, this is – I don't think that I'm too far off by saying this is the best defense that I've seen since the no-fly zone. I don't think anybody's been this good since, and they are – they're good and they're young, so they're going to be good for a couple years. I don't think this is the only time that we're going to be talking about the Jets with a very high-level defense. So with the picks, just to recap, only game that we differ on, Sunday Night Football with the Bills and Bengals. I'm riding with my boys in Cincinnati. You picked Buffalo, just trying to get one back on me. Like you said, then we have the Titans beating the Steelers. We both have the Dolphins beating the Chiefs in Germany. And we both have the Jets taking home a Monday Night Football victory over the Chargers. So we're, like I said, just the Bills game is the one that we're out there. I said that we would finish up with it, and we're coming up on the end of the show. So
Here's your cuteness for the day.
There's the legend that is Burton Bryant. And that's and a dog next to him. That's our my uncle's dog. She was wearing her girdle, I think it's called, is the female outfit for Oktoberfest. But yeah, my man had Lederhosen. My brother has the picture from behind, but you can kind of see the pants and the man, like I said, look at that face and don't tell me he's a damn dynasty. Okay, my poor mom whores him out every single year. We get basket. Look, the man gets fed for the rest of the year every October because the amount of goodies and things that he wins. The man gets new toys, new treats every damn October. And like I said, that you're looking at the next great American dynasty right here, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a good thing that he earns. I mean, Boomer just gets fed and treats for nothing. He doesn't even have to do anything except be cute and listen to me while I do my podcast. But that was – I've got to try and figure out if I can get him into a costume. My sister – if I talk to my sister, I know I'll have Halloween costumes for days. So maybe I'll slip her the idea. She's already buying them for her dog. So maybe she'll just throw an extra one into the cart because they're her dog and Boomer are like best friends. Which is awesome because when we watch them a lot when she goes out of town and they just play all weekend and then they both go home on Sunday night. They're like, I'm tired. It's time for bed. Yeah. You played for 36 straight hours, 36 hours straight. Yeah. We'll get Boomer dressed up.
All I'm saying is you're already Superman, like Batman right there. That's all I'm going to say.
Batman. Crypto.
I'm thinking something. You can think of something very good.
There's quite a few superheroes. It's nice to have your pets. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the Halloween special, episode 158 of The Far End of the Bench. Like Nico said at the beginning of the podcast, if you're not watching on the YouTube channel, go check it out. See if we met your criteria for Halloween costumes. I'll be wearing this one to school that you guys see. Nico's going to go try and wash off the face paint and the makeup.
This is going to
try and get to bed at a reasonable hour.
It's going to take me 30 minutes to try and take off this shit is all I'm going to say.
He did it for you, Benchwarmer, so be sure to follow, subscribe, and everything like that.
Jimmy, show the people. Show the people. One more time. Show the people. Show the people. Show the people. Yeah. Show the people. Yep. Thank you, Jim. That's all I want. Thank you.
There we go.
I appreciate it. For those listeners, yes, Jimmy just put up the banner that we're still world champions. Thank you.
We are still defending world champions / Lakers daddy, the Denver Nuggets. Thank you, everybody, very much for tuning in. Be sure to follow at FEOTB Pod. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow the Variety Sports Network. Check us out over there, Talking the Gridiron. We'll be on Monday. Darren's working with me since I'm going to be out of town. None of the other shows this week. I know that we've been off for a few weeks, but I'm going to Wisconsin to celebrate with a girlfriend there. She's up in a wedding there, so I'm going to be out there to support her. So enjoy this episode. Enjoy your Halloween. Happy Halloween, everybody. Be safe. Don't get into too much trouble. And we will catch you guys on 159 next week.
Peace.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.